Where do babies go when they die, and why? And the goal should be, if you ever hear of a disaster, if you ever hear of, you know, a monsoon that, you know, wipes out Bangladesh and 20,000, you know, little children are killed, and someone says, what does your God think of that? You can say they're instantly in heaven. Just look them right in the eye. You know, it's kind of like Larry King, right after 9-1-1, had a little panel of all different stripes of Christians, and he pointed at him and he said, the two-year-old that was in the basement daycare at the World Trade Center crushed to death. Where are they now? And he went like that, just like that, at each one of the men. Three of them said, I don't know. And the fourth one said, instantly in heaven. And I think that's the confidence we need to have, but why is, you need to know why. It's nice to give a positive answer, but it's better if it's grounded in Scripture. Where do babies go when they die, and why? And of course, I believe they go to heaven. And let me show you why. And you should mark these because, by the way, almost none. And let's go to Jonah 4:11. You just back up from, you know, from Matthew. You'll find Jonah quick. But Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, chapter 4. But most of these questions are not new. That's why the longer you do Q&As, the more wonderful it is, because you start seeing patterns. People ask within a range very similar questions anywhere. I mean, I do these overseas. I do them at college campuses. I do them at camps. I do them at everywhere. I mean, we just did at Gull Lake 3 weeks ago or something, 2 or 3 hours just of Q&A. And these were people from all over the country. And they were just very similar to the question answer we have here. Okay, first of all, and I want you to think in terms, and there are a lot more reasons, I'm just giving you a framework, but number one, Jonah's age of accountability. Notice something interesting in Jonah 4 and verse 11. God the Father says to Jonah, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons, now look at this. Something's interesting here. Who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock. Well, what's the livestock? Well, the livestock would be innocent life, but not human life. But what about these 120,000 that can't tell their right hand from their left hand? This is talking about either mentally challenged, mentally handicapped, mentally disabled, or very small people. And what we see is the Lord, when he's meting out judgment upon Nineveh, you know why Nineveh was judged. Remember, the book of Obadiah, each of the books in the Bible are targeting something. Obadiah is about the pride of Edom, and the book of Nahum is about the evil of Nineveh. Nineveh was a occultic, bloodthirsty, wicked place. And God says, because of their sin, I'm going to wipe them out. But as he's wiping them out, and this is very interesting, because by the time we get here, Revelation 20 says we're saved by grace, but we're damned to hell by works. And so what the Lord is saying is, if there is no conscious, willful rebellion against God, I know we're all born sinners, by nature and by choice, as soon as we're old enough to make a choice, and by divine decree. But God talks about those who are not consciously rejectors. And he says there's a lot of them in that city. So that's just something to tuck away. David's discussions about his son. Look at 2 Samuel 12:23. So what you should mark, if you've ever heard of an age of an accountability, it seems to be what Jonah's talking about, recording what the Lord says. But look at 2 Samuel 12:23. Now, this is probably the first one everybody knows about. They say, doesn't it say somewhere that David's baby went to heaven? Well, it says something like that. And what it says is, and you remember the story that David fell into sin, broke all 10 commandments, conceived a child out of wedlock through adultery, murdered the husband, and Bathsheba had this child, and the Lord struck the child, and it died. And David, during 7 days while the baby was sick, fasted, didn't shave, didn't even go to bed. He laid on the ground crying out to God to save this child's life. As soon as he saw the servants whispering in 2 Samuel 12, he realized the baby's died, and what they thought, he's going to commit suicide now. I mean, he's acting so crazy over the child being sick if we tell him he's dead. That's what they were whispering to each other. They thought they'd hurt himself. And David says, what are you whispering about? Has the child died? And they went, yeah. And David got up and said, go make a meal. Draw my bath. I'm going to shave. And they said, what's wrong with you? Why? You lay it on the ground for 7 days. What's the deal? And look what he says, actually in verse 22 of 2 Samuel 12. While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell if the Lord will be gracious to me and the child may live? But now he is dead, and why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Now, at the very least, this line says that David was going to the grave. That was last month, and I won't even repeat all that. He was going to the place, the abode of the dead. But David has made some very big statements. In fact, it says in Psalm 16 that you will not allow your servant to see corruption, and that I am going to know your presence. So David had a very real resurrection face-to-face in the presence of God hope. And that's most likely what he's talking about here. David said, I'm going to see, when I see you face-to-face and I'm like you, Psalm 73:25, I'm going to see my little one. And it's a totally different reaction than Absalom's death. David was unconsolably, after he heard Absalom was dead, he did not say, I'll see him again, because he probably wouldn't. But this one he would. So that's a second, you know. There appears to be some that God is concerned about because they haven't consciously sinned, although they're sinners. Now, we want to reaffirm the fact that people do not become sinners because they perform sins. The Bible is the opposite, affirming the opposite. People sin because they're already sinners. Sin doesn't make me a sinner. Being a sinner makes me sin. Always remember that order. God says we're born sinners. From the womb, we come out sinful. But David says that his son, though only 7 days old, was somehow under God's mercy. Well, here's an interesting one, Revelation 20, and look at, we're talking about hell later if we get that far, but look at Revelation 20, what it says starting in verse 11. This is called the Great White Throne. This is the final judgment. This is after the millennium. This is just before eternity in the fullest form takes place. And I saw a great white throne, verse 11, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. By the way, who is that? That's Jesus. That's why we're going to talk about, if we ever finish Revelation 4 and 5 and get to Revelation 6. Do you know what Revelation 6 on is about? Holy wrath. Holy wrath. There is a holy, just wrath of God. And here's Jesus. Because John 5 says Jesus is the judge. God has given to him, committed to him all judgment. And Jesus says, marvel not, the hour is coming when shall all the grave will hear my voice and are going to come forth, some to this. And this is what he says. Everyone's fleeing from his face. And there was found no place for them. And the dead, small and great, were standing before God. And that's God the Son, according to John 5. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And that marks the people that are saved by grace. The book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. Isn't that interesting? Did you know nobody goes to hell for not hearing about Jesus? Everybody goes to hell for sin. See, that's, you have to really understand that. When someone says, well, what about the Aborigines in Australia? Say, no one ever goes to hell because they haven't heard of Jesus. They go to hell because they die consciously in rebellion against the righteousness of God in sin. And so that's an interesting thought because, again, if we follow this line of reasoning, there are a lot of people that have lived over the centuries that have never consciously sinned. They're sinners, Never get this you know, for 1600 years the church has affirmed one of the first heresies was that people were born neutral, which is what liberalism says. And then, you know, if you live in a bad part of town, you pick up bad stuff, but if we can fix the bad part of town, you'll get better. No. You can put a newborn in a completely sterile room and never allow them to see or hear or smell anything sinful or selfish, and they will be. Because it's part of them. Because of the fall and because of sin being passed on from Adam, they're sinners. But it appears there's a whole group of people who have never consciously sinned. For instance, did you know that 1/4 of all conceptions terminate? I'm not talking about abortion. 1/4 of all conceptions, and by the way, life begins when? At conception. So 1/4 of all life, we're talking about right now, and this has been going probably on a long time. 1/4 of all conceived human beings die in the womb. They don't make it. Miscarriage and further. You know, stillborn. I mean, I'm not a gynecologist, but you know what I mean. It's just 1/4. That's medical statistics. Did they ever consciously sin? Were they alive? No and yes. You understand that? If there's something we have to process here, which brings us down here to God's statement to Abraham, and we'll conclude there because, you know, I could just go on and on about any of these things because that's how fascinating the Bible is, and it's so fascinating to think through what the Bible says and the implications of it. But look at, this is just for God is going to wipe out another place because of their sin, and it was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And remember the intercession of God's friend. I mean, who would have enough, you know, chutzpah to talk to God this way? Just one more. How about for this many? You know, but look at verse 25. Far be it from you to do such a thing as to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should not be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Now look at this. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the bottom line is this. It appears biblically, and I could share a lot more things. I could tell you that one time God is wiping out the king of the northern kingdom, wiping out and promising destruction to him. He was apostate, idol worshiper, you know, calf worshiper, and his son got sick, and he was just a little tiny little boy, and the Hebrew word probably means he was just like a toddler. And the wife hides her identity and goes to see the prophet, and the prophet said, before you step foot in your home, that baby will be dead. And you know what's after that? Because it's the only one God found anything good about in your whole household. And he killed him. Why? Because it was a way. I mean, if that little kid would have grown up, he would have grown up like his dad, a desperate sinner. And God says, he says, I'm going to have mercy on him, just like he has mercy on any of us, because this one has not consciously sinned. Very interesting, but I won't go into all that. The bottom line is this. I believe they go to heaven instantly. So if you hear about a plane crash and there's 216 people and 2 more babies, say, no, for sure, 2 of them are in heaven. Why? Because the judge of all the earth will do right. You say, how do you know that? Well, that was the conclusion of every major scholar, both Reformed and non-Reformed, both Arminian and Calvinistic. I mean, John Calvin, after all of his gymnastics he did, he said, I believe babies go to heaven. Charles Hodge, one of the greatest theology writers, after all of his study. Now, there's a lot of different ways you can go on it. There's one more line in here. Within the Levitical sacrifices, do you remember there are all kinds of things that were sin for the Jews? One of the sins were if you were walking across a field and someone had buried someone there, whether you knew they were there or not, when you walked across it, you had just been defiled. And if you walked into and offered a sacrifice, you would have sinned. If you walked in as an unclean person, defiled, and offered a sacrifice. And that was an unintentional, not even known sin. And did you know that there was provision within Leviticus, another line I could put in here, that there was a sacrifice for people who committed sins without even knowing that they committed them. So that's a piece to put in your mind. Then we get to Hebrews, and the book of Hebrews says that Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the sacrifices. So Jesus paid on the cross for people that didn't even consciously know they sinned. Those, I would say, are the severely mentally handicapped children up to a certain age, although we can't say all of them are the same age, because I have had children in my family deeply convicted of their sin at 5 and 6 years of age. Some people want to make it comfortably at 13. I think it might be before then, you know, that they're conscious, willful sinners. But just for you to know, where do babies go when they die? Instantly to heaven. Why? Because of the mercy of God, but also because we see within God's word that he seems to make provision for them, although there's not one verse that says all babies go to heaven.